I want to ask you to stand this morning, and I'm going to talk this morning about a subject that we're all familiar with. Sometimes it's too familiar, and that's fear. But I want to talk this morning about how to fear less. And the Bible says this: God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. This was Paul speaking to a timid Timothy, all right? And I'd like you to just say it with me. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I want you to make it personal, all right? Say it with me. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. If you believe that, say aloud, amen. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you, Lord God, that you're with us. Lord, you want us to be moved from being fearful to being fearless. But Lord, how do we get there? We get there through your word and understanding who you are in our lives. Lord, speak to us during these next few moments and help us, Lord God, to that the eyes of our understanding would be open, Lord God, so that we could live our lives in peace, Lord God, and our lives in victory. And we just pray it right now in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hold your Bibles high in the sky and say, this is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy word on which I stand. And having done all, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever the word of God says I am, whatever the word of God says I have, whatever the word of God says I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There's a set of notes that you received this morning. They're not as long as they were last week, but man, that message last week was just a life-giving message. When I write and when I study, I get blessed just like you do. God's word is so powerful. Today we'll have a few less notes, but it's going to be I believe that God's word is going to speak to your heart in a great way. Today we're going to talk about how to fear less, all right? So let's give a quick definition to the word fear. Fear is to be afraid or feel anxious about or apprehensive about a possible or probable situation or event. Ironically, most fears are fake. You've heard of fake news, but let me tell you this, there's a lot of fake fears. In fact, fear as an acronym could be kind of, just remember it this way, fear could be described as false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real, or false emotions appearing real. Many times we let our emotions get the best of us, and they're not really real, they're just false. False evidence appearing real. And most of our fears are never realized. You should know that. Now, the top fears that we have in life are things like, and these are just general order, fear of flying. Some people have a dread of flying, but I love to fly. I just really do. Fear of death. Many people have a fear of death, but aren't you glad that we as believers in our understanding, we know that the next step is going to be heaven, so we don't have to fear death at all. A fear of public speaking. Lots of people put public speaking right up there with death, you know, standing before a crowd. That's why I do it, you know. But anyway, no, fear of public speaking is, you know, something you have to just face. Fear of illness. There's a fear that comes in like, will I get that illness? Many times we'll hear about somebody else that has an illness only to go like, oh no, I just felt an ache in my side. Have I got that illness too? We can kind of take someone else's illness on. Barbara's smiling at me now because I've done that a few times. I'm always around, you know, reports of illness because we have a church family of around 2,000 people. And so, you know, at any given time in any given week, I'm always hearing about somebody who has a disease or an ailment. And then sometimes I'll be going like, oh my goodness, do I have that same ailment? You know, and you just, then it causes fear. Fear of terrorism. We always knew that terrorism was out there all of my life. There's been, you know, attacks and things, but nothing to the scale that we have today, and nothing with the potential today for terrorism. We always have to be on guard and thinking about terrorism. It can cause fear. Fear of heights. Whenever I'm in a hotel that has one of these middle atriums, you know, that you got to look down, those things just freak me out when I get up to the edge, you know, and especially, I don't know why they build these railings about right here, because the top half of my body is way heavier than the bottom half of my body, and I just keep feeling like, man, if somebody just brushed me, I'd just go toppling right over to my death, you know, bring me up to the top fear. And So, you know, fear of heights, although I love to fly, go figure. But if I'm right on the edge of something, oh my goodness, it kind of freaks me out. Fear of the dark. I remember when I was a kid, I'd get afraid of the dark. I grew up in the church, and my dad and I many times would lock up the church, and then we'd turn out the lights, and then we'd have to walk out the door. Man, I would take the first couple of steps after turning out the lights, and then I'd run for the door, because there's all kinds of funny, creaky noise sounds in the church at night. The furnace turning on and so forth. And then sometimes we'd have funerals in the church the next day and there would be a body sitting there and I'd go, oh no, get me out of here. You know what I mean? You know, in our little town, you know, like that would freak me out. Anyway, and we had these, you know, we always told stories about the graveyards. You know, why do they have a fence around a graveyard? Because people are just dying to get in, those kind of things. But anyway, you don't like that kind of humor. Okay. Then fear of unemployment. Fear of unemployment, that can be a real fear of like, am I going to keep my job? Am I going to, what's coming up with unemployment? Because employment helps with little things like food and clothing and things like that. Fear of failure is another one. It's a fear that people have, fear of failure. And then also fear of rejection is a real fear that many people have. Now, there's two ways that you can respond to fear. First of all, you can use this acronym to respond to fear. Forget everything and run. That's the first one. Don't really recommend that, but that's called flight. And so when we get afraid, we go into flight mode. Or face everything and rise. Say with me this morning, face everything and rise. How many of you would agree that you need to face your fears? It's one of the best things you can do is face your fears. Nelson Mandela, the great leader, he says, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. And God's calling us to conquer our fears. Many times it's a fight. We're fighting our fears, and you want to conquer your fears. It doesn't happen in 5 minutes, usually. Sometimes it doesn't happen in 5 hours, and sometimes it takes 5 days or 5 months. I've seen people deal with fear even 5 years, but don't give up the fight. In other words, you can overcome fear. And all of God's people said, amen. We live in a world that's filled with fear, especially fear of the unknown or fear of the future. And I believe one of the greatest fears that we are facing in present day, all right, I'm talking about right now. One of the greatest fears that we're facing in our world today is whether or not we will enter into a nuclear war with like North Korea. And hopefully not, but nevertheless, there's a lot of uncertainty and fear just over the thought of it. Do you realize that if we enter into a nuclear war only takes about an hour and then it's all over? That's all it takes is about an hour, and then it's all over, followed by a nuclear winter. Of course, you won't be there to see the nuclear winter because you'll have been dissolved. And that's the big thing. And when there's nuclear warheads headed, you know, pointed at California, they already have them in range of Hawaii already, it can cause, just the thought of it, can cause us to have some fear. So, Paul, how many of you would agree with me right now that we live in a pretty tenuous world right now, a world that there's a lot of stress, a lot of things that could go wrong, and we need a lot of wisdom? We have a lot of potential to do damage. Can I get a witness here this morning? And all of this uncertainty many times causes us to live in fear, but that's not where God has us. He doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live in faith and trust in Him. Amen? Now, here's what the Apostle Paul said to timid Timothy, all right? He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I want to just unpack this verse here just for a couple of moments here. First of all, he said, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Say with me this morning, power. Now, I just wrote this down myself. I was thinking about this. Really, the more power you have, the less fear you will have. And on the conversely, the less power you have, the more fear you will have. And this is kind of borne out even with our military in the United States. We have one of the greatest militaries or the most powerful militaries in the world because we have that strength that causes us to have more confidence. And it causes the enemy to have more fear. If you've ever been to an air show and saw a B-1B bomber coming your way with all of its with the thunder that it goes, you feel like it's the wrath of God coming against you. Or if there was a the B-1, the big one with the eight engines, what is that one? The B-52 bomber coming your way, you just feel like it's the wrath of God coming your way if you're on the receiving end of that. But the more power you have, the less fear you will have. The less power you have, the more fear. The less power you have, the more fear you will have. Now, where does our power come from? Our power comes from the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. How many are glad that we have power that comes from the Holy Spirit? Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. And the Bible says this, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. In other words, we can only do so much in and of ourselves, but with God's power, we can do all things. Amen. Living life, by the way, with all of its twists and turns, its joys and sorrows, its victories and defeats, requires more power than we have alone in ourselves. It requires the power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you know this morning you got a certain amount of power, but you don't have enough power? You need power from on high, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen. I was hearing the other day, I heard Michael Phelps on some news report, and he was talking, Michael Phelps, who's won all of these gold medals as a swimmer, and he's just made to swim. I mean, his body and everything's just made to swim. But he is saying, life for me has been very difficult at times. He suffers from depression. And so he was talking about saying that I finally got help, and I finally shared what I was going through with somebody else, and it really helped me. And he was just speaking at kind of a conference, and he was saying, if you suffer in that area, share it with somebody else and get the help that you need, and it'll really help you. But I remember him saying this, living life is difficult. Living life can be challenging. How many of you would just say, you can get a witness with that? There are parts of living life that are challenging. Kind of wave at me right now. And there's lots of parts of living life that's really good, but there are parts of living life that are really challenging. Raise your hand again if you got the strength to raise your hand. Amen? It's really true, all right? But watch this. Paul kind of rolled with the punches because he had the power of God. And the apostle Paul, he said this, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. In other words, he said, I know what it is to have very little and I know what it is to have a lot. But then he says this, everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and both to suffer need. But here's what he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's translated in another translation, who empowers me. I'm talking about you might be living at a high point in your life or just dragging the plow right now, living at a low point in your life, but you can do all things through Christ who empowers you, who strengthens you. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. So, if you're living right now in fear, that's not the Spirit that God gave you. The Spirit that God gave you is the Holy Spirit who will give you power. The second thing the Holy Spirit will give you is love. Say it with me this morning, love. And the Bible says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And so we know and believe the love that God has for us. Now I want you to see this morning. Say it with me, we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Let me just say this morning, do you know and do you believe the love that God has for you? And I hope that you do because God loves you. Say with me this morning, God loves me. Let me tell you what, God loves you and he knows all about you and he still loves you. Can I get a witness? And put that right there. And so we know and we believe the love that God has for us. God is love and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Now, watch this. I wrote this on my notes. I don't think I put it on the PowerPoint, but listen closely. When you know and believe the love that God has for you, fear will begin to diminish and decrease in your life. When you know it. So there is no fear in love, the Bible says. And I've had a hard time understanding this scripture. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment or judgment or torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. But here it is. There is no fear in love. And I just ask God, would you give me a little bit of a revelation and insight on this? I know that I say it. There's no fear in love. But what does that really mean? And I feel that God gave me some insight on this. Now, first of all, let me just say this again. When you know and you believe the love that God has for you, fear will begin to decrease and diminish in your life when you know how much God loves you. Now, I can only try to explain this from the point of view of being a son or from you being a daughter, but let me just show you what the Holy Spirit showed me when, as it pertains to love, all right? When you are loved by your heaven, when you're loved by your earthly father, you just feel a more of a peace inside of you. In fact, during times in my life when I was facing what to me were fearful situations, my father would always calm my fears. My father or my mother, they'd always calm my fears. Now, how many remember doing that for your own kids? How many of you had your own kids get upset? But what did you do? You calmed their fears and you say, "I love you. You're going to be okay." So once while I was playing hockey, as a junior higher, I lived in North Dakota, all right? So it was a very cold state. We didn't have to freeze the ice in the hockey arena with any kind of electricity. It was already frozen because it was already so cold. So we would play hockey. And once as a junior higher, I was playing, I was skating along, and another kid, and he's a pretty rough kid too. I don't know what happened, whether it was an accident or intentional, but he came towards me at a high speed, skating at a high speed, and he lifted the puck. And I don't know if he meant it for me to hit me on the chest or go over my head or whatever, but it hit me right next to my eye, and the puck hit me, the corner of the puck cut me clean through all the way to the bone, and it was just all the way just cut right now, just like that. I saw a flash of lightning, and all I remember is seeing a flash of lightning going down on the ice and then coming up again with blood all over my face. And so our house in that little town, we lived in Candu, North Dakota. You can do better in Candu. All right, that's how it is. Check it out. Everybody knew everyone because it was only 1,700 people. And we only lived a block away from the hockey arena. So they went over and contacted my dad. My dad came over. And my dad, they're going to bring me over to the clinic, which was right across the street in this small town. The clinic where Dr. Hiltz was, all right? He was the town doctor. So right across the street from the hockey arena was the clinic. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it, amen? And so he brought me over there, and I was really quite fearful of having that deep cut above my eye stitched up. But my father was by my side and lovingly said, here's what he said, "It's only going to hurt a little, and you're going to be fine, and I'll be right here with you." So when Dr. Hiltz, by the way, Dr. Hiltz was a Catholic doctor. He and his wife had 17 children. They lived in a four-story house, an old house in Candu, North Dakota. 17, they had lost two children, or they had 19, but they had 17 children. And they believed the verse, you know, be fruitful and multiply. They just really said, we're going to do that. And good word, Jared said, yeah, five right now. You're close, Jared, 12 to go. Talk to Candace about that. So when Dr. Hiltz got out that kind of curved needle for stitching, man, I can still feel that prick that went through just like that. Then he stitched me all up, and then I was okay. But my father's love in that moment made all of the difference in the world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What was a fearful situation was dispelled because I knew that my father loved me. Now, throughout my life, whenever I was making decisions in life, like going here or doing this, or making a major life decision, I'd still call my dad up on the phone, and then dad would say essentially the same thing that he's told me when I was about 12 years old. He would say, with love, "You're going to be fine, Perry. It's only going to hurt a little. It's going to be challenging, but you're going to do good, and you've got what it takes." He would say those kinds of things. Now, if our earthly father can calm our fears, how much more our heavenly father? Because our heavenly father, God, shows us the same kind of love, especially when we're filled with fear. And during those times that we're filled with fear, he lovingly says, "You're going to be fine. It's going to hurt a little bit, but you're going to make it, and I'm going to be right here with you." If you're glad for our heavenly father, give our heavenly father really great praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I love what this verse of Scripture says this, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Say it with me this morning, the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I want you to know, everybody here this morning, you are adopted into the family of God. Hallelujah. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You belong to God. You are his dear child. You've been adopted. But again, we can say, Abba, Father. Say it with me this morning, Abba, Father. And when you are filled with fear, we serve a God who's going to calm your fears because you've been adopted into his family. All right, so God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power. And the third one is a sound mind. Say it with me this morning, a sound mind. Now, fear affects your mind and not in a good way. It's a battleground. But the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Say it with me this morning, self-control. When you're fearful, your thoughts start to run away and take on a life of their own. But when you have self-control, God will help you to rope in those fears and your mind will be calmed. It's one of the things. In other words, you can control yourself? Yes. It's called self-control. Say it with me this morning, self-control. Get under control. Amen. You still with me here? Okay, now, let's talk this morning about how to fear less before we finish up on what we're sharing this morning. How to fear less, all right? Now, number one, by the way, we've got a great conference coming up, our men's conference. Mark, I was even thinking about this when I wrote it. I said I should just wait until after the men's conferences, but this is the word that God has for us today. But we've got a great men's conference coming up talking about fearless, and I pray all you men will come on out this year. It's just going to be awesome, all right? Now, remember that God is with you. Here's five things to remember. Number one, God is with you. In fact, the Bible says this, fear not, the Lord says, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Thank God that when we're filled with fear, he says, fear not, because I am with you. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. Now, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And other versions say, what can mere man do to me? Lots of people, you know, they fear what other people think. They fear what other people think. That's a big fear. Like, I fear, what can that person do to me? Let me just give you something here to go on, all right? Don't worry about what people think about you because they seldom do. Think about that for a second. I'm just so afraid of what this person's going to think of me. And what are they going to do? First of all, what if they're thinking of you, what can their thoughts possibly do to you anyway? And the truth of the matter is they're not thinking about you at all. They're thinking about them. That's what they're thinking about. Don't get so full of yourself. And I say this to myself, but respectfully speaking, we are not the center of anyone's universe except God's. Other people are thinking about their stuff. They're not so much thinking about your stuff. And there's nothing they can do to you anyway. So don't worry about what people think of you. Jack Hayford said that years ago, and I never forgot it. Don't think about what people think about you. Don't worry about what people think about you because they seldom do. That made me smile. But then I got to go like, man, he's kind of right. And the truth of the matter is, when you die, 1 hour after your funeral, you know what they're going to say? Where are we going to dinner tonight? Where are we going to dinner tonight? Come on, everyone. Are we going to go to Starbucks this afternoon? Now, a few of your family members will be sorry about the whole thing. I mean, there'll be a few of your family members will be family. Okay, they're going to have a bad day and a bad week. But past that, everyone else is going to go, yeah, are we going to Mimi's tonight? Are we going to a movie? What are we going to do? You're laughing because you've done the same thing. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, what I'm trying to say is many of the fears that we have, they're unfounded fears. And people are not trying to be mean. They're trying to get through life just like you're trying to get through life. It's not like they're thinking about you. They're thinking about all their stuff that's going on, just like you are. How many of you know that'll free you up from a few fears? Can I get a witness, amen? Okay, secondly here this morning, remember that God is for you. Say with me this morning, God is for me. And Paul said this, what shall we again say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Say with me this morning, if God be for me, who can be against me? Number three this morning, remember that Jesus said, do not worry. Jesus said, do not worry. Say with me this morning, do not worry. Now, worry and fear are related. They're close cousins. So Here's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, which is one of the greatest messages ever preached. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and this was just a part of it. So he said this, and I love this right here. He says, here's what Jesus says now. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, nor about your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Say with me this morning, the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more worth than every bird in the air? Several years ago, I went out to Sacramento Airport, all right, SMF, and went out to Sacramento Airport, and I saw out there a literal cloud of birds. By the way, I love our airport. We put such a great airport up there, but they're the cloud of birds that I saw, but they were like that. They were called starlings, I learned later, and you can see there's tens of thousands of birds in there. In fact, that cloud over on the right side, it looks like a cloud. That's all birds. That dense black cloud is all starlings. And here's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. If God is watching over every one of those starlings, guess what? He's watching over you. Can I get a witness? Amen? So he's got everything under control. And then he says this. He says, consider the lilies of the field. By the way, worry and fear won't lengthen your life at all. He goes and he says this, can any one of you by worrying add one single hour to your life? In fact, worry and fear take years from your life and life from your years. They really do. How many times have you ever been worried about something and you go like, man, I wish I could get all of the time back that I've spent worrying. Wave at me right now. All of the time back that for something that never occurred at all. I wish I could get all of those times back. It'll never add any life, any hours to your life, but it'll take away life from you. And then Jesus goes on and he says this, consider the lilies of the field. And he says this, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And he says, Solomon, all of his glory didn't look as good as those lilies of the field. But then he says this, he comes to a conclusion. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And the answer is, that's the truth. God will take care of me. If he's taking care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, how many know that God's going to take care of you as well? And then he says this, therefore, do not worry. Say it with me this morning, do not worry. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Let me say something. You've heard me preach this before. God knows you need things. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need things. A lot of people say, you know what? They just feel, I'm so unspiritual right now. I just don't need any. Yes, you do. You need things. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need things. You need shelter, food, clothing, and every now and then you need a car, whatever you need. But you need some things. How many know that's okay? But here's the key. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto you. And then he says this, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, live one day at a time. Hallelujah. Say with me this morning, live one day at a time. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. I'm going to get through this day. Let me ask you a question. Look at me right now. Look at me right now, everybody. How many believe you can make it till midnight tonight? And how many of you believe that God's going to be with you till midnight tonight? And then how many of you believe that he'll be with you from 1 a.m. tomorrow all the way through the next day, one day at a time? Don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But God's going to get us through this day well. And then he's going to do tomorrow and the next day. Y'all with me? All right. Just keeping an eye on you. Praise God. All right, now, number four, remember to worry less and pray more. Say with me this morning, worry less, pray more. In fact, the Bible says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You'll experience his peace if you'll pray more and worry less. Worry less and pray more. Number five, remember to keep your mind on the Lord and not your fears. Say with me this morning, keep your mind on the Lord and not your fears. Many times our mind is more in our fears than it is on the Lord. God's saying this, keep your mind, the word of God saying this, keep your mind on the Lord and not your fears. I love this scripture. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. That's King James Version. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Man, I'll tell you what, when I start to get filled with fear on the inside, I begin to say, God, I'm putting my trust in you. I keep my mind on the Lord. And then God says this, I'm going to keep you in perfect peace. That great exchange, the peace that passes all understanding. And then I'm going to end with this verse here this morning. Psalm 34:4 is talking about praying, right? But the psalmist said this, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Can I get a witness here this morning in all of my fears? Give the Lord a great hand clap of praise this morning. Would you do that?